15th chapter of the book of Luke, 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days, I want you to notice this, not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I believe this passage of Scripture, this not many days, will apply to the whole thing. I don't think it took very long to gather his stuff together. I don't think it took very long to take his journey. And I don't think it took very long to waste his substance with riotous living. I believe it all transpired fastly. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed the swine. And this young man was in such bad shape, he would have fain. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And it was there that he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to the Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. God bless you for standing for reading the Word of God. I would tonight that I could show you and get you convinced that every time this happens, the same thing happens. Every time a man leaves father's house to go after sin and righteous living, the same results are always the same. I don't have to be a prophet, and I don't have to be one that makes predictions. That's just the way it happens. And tonight, my friend, if you're not in the Father's house, and you've left the Father's house to seek something else, how was your day in the far country? How did you feel today in the far country? Was there any peace left in the depths of your soul? Was there any happiness that you one time had and enjoyed left in your soul? No doubt, not many days, it's all gone. You see, the devil shows people what a good time out there in the world and what a pleasant time there is. But not many days, the famine goes to taking its toll. And after all the substance is wasted with riotous living, that soul begins to be in want and begins to cry out for something that it cannot get anymore. And would fain have filled his belly with the husk at the swine he'd eat. If you'd have offered him husk back at the father's house, he'd have said, man, you're crazy. I don't eat that kind of stuff. But now in that condition that he's in, he would have filled his belly with the husk at the swine he'd eat. I want to tell you, my friend, it won't be many days. You'll be doing things you never thought you would. It never has entered into your heart and mind the things that you will do and commit simply because your soul becomes longing for the Father's house and the things that was there. It won't take long, my friend, for that to happen. I wish tonight that I could paint you a picture that you would return from the place that you're in and come back to the Father's house. I like the story. you sense that when he finally comes to himself, the story then begins to take on new meaning. And there as he begins to make his way, he's got a repentant heart. And he comes back to the Father and goes to tell the Father about his sin and failure. And he tells the Father, I'm no more worthy to be called a son. All I'm wanting is servant status. But the Father's glad to see him. The Father's been looking for him. He's been waiting for his return. And he beholds him a way off. And he said, that's the boy. He's coming home again. Somebody kill the fatted calf. Somebody get a new change of clothes. Hey, it's time to make merry. My son's come home. Man, that helped the feeling of that boy not knowing how the Father's going to take his return. He promised all many things about this act that he was going to do, his return empty-handed, spent, not even looking like the son. For the far country had taken its toll on him. The far country had ripped him and stripped him of all the good things that he once had. And a lot of those things was father's possessions that he had given to his son, the inheritance to the son. And now they're all gone and they're wasted. And here comes one back that's empty. He's empty and without anything. And all he's wanting is servant status. I've come to tell you tonight, my friend, if you'll come back, the Father will reinstate you. If you come back to him and you'll fall on your face before him, he'll in no wise cast you out. A broken and contrite spirit, the Father says, will in no wise he'll cast it out. But he'll make it welcome again in his house. He'll bring it back to the sonship and give again the joys and the pleasures that you once craved and had in the Father's house. But my friend, the world is going to drain you of the Father's substance. It's going to drain you of the inheritance that the Father's given you. I need to read to you another story. You know, we have a choice, and it's a powerful choice. Choice is a powerful thing. It will determine your destiny. And that's how powerful it is. And we gloat in that statement, the power of choice. But the consequences of the choices we make are eternal. The consequences. I'm here to say tonight we haven't experienced the fullness of the consequence from turning away our God and doing things that we do in America. Right in America, America hasn't seen the full consequence of killing the millions of babies that's never been born. We've not yet experienced the consequence of that. You see, but they say that's choice. But my friend, the choice that we make sometimes has great, great repercussions upon our lives and upon our existence. Hey, friend, how has your choice dealt to you today? Did it give to you that you thought that you'd gain? Did it give you the peace that you thought you'd maintain? Did it give you the joy that you thought you'd reach by going the direction you went? If it's not, you've got another choice to make tonight. You can come back to the Father's house. You can look at yourself and see where you're at and say, I must arise and go back to the Father's house. The other story is found in 2 Kings, the 9th chapter. There are some comparisons here. They're so different, but yet some similarities. And David said, is there yet left that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of Jonathan, showing kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. Can you imagine when that servant mentions that, what it does to the heart of David? Can you imagine? David and Jonathan were probably the closest two men in the Bible. They were friends. They loved one another. And now Jonathan is gone and David is inquiring, is there any left of the house of Saul? Yes, there's one Jonathan's son. Really? Jonathan's got a son? I've got a message for you to take to him. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Hey, Mephibosheth was in this condition, not by choice, but by grandfather's choice. At one time, he had the opportunity. If Saul had obeyed the Lord, he could have been there in the palace. But now he's in Lodibar. Now he's in a far country. Now he's forgotten about. But the call from the king comes, would you come to my table? Would you come to my palace? I want to tell you tonight, my friend, there's a call from heaven that's calling men out of sin and out of disappointing things and saying, come to my house. There's better things in my house. I looked up the word Lodibar, and the Bible dictionary said without pasture. Without pasture. How can you prosper in a place of no pasture? No growth. How can anything survive there? What are your plans for the future? How are you planning on making it in Lodibar? How can you make it in a far country where the famine is? I've got news for you tonight. The king's house, the father's house, is not affected by the famine. The father's house, there's plenty. It's not affected by what's going on out there in the world. It's not affected with the blues and the sad things that happens out there. We can rejoice in the midst of our trials. Oh yes, there's some sad times and there's some bad times. But the Father's house remains plenteous and abundant. Where are you living tonight? Are you living in the abundance of Father's house? Woo! Mephibosheth, who said, who am I as a dead dog that you should call me out like this? But David said, I couldn't afford, this is my own words, I couldn't afford to leave you there when I had meat at this table. And rightfully so, you belong here. There's some of you tonight that's out of place. You're here in the right place, but spiritually, you're out of place. The plight of choices and the results of choices made has wreaked havoc upon your life. And so, you're running on empty. The famine is taking its toll on your being. Spiritual famine in America that's taking its toll upon lives. And souls are wandering aimlessly about. Wandering where their next meal will come from. Wandering, can I survive here? No, you can't survive there. Look at all the carcasses that's about you. Look at the dying. Look at all the trouble that's about you. There's yet peace in the house of God. There's bread back in Bethlehem. There's bread at the table of God. There's bread back in Father's house. He's servants have bread enough to spare. And the man said, I perish with hunger. Mephibosheth, there will always be a place at the king's table for you. And not only that, I'm going to give you all the land that belongs to you. And I'm going to have somebody to plant it. I'm going to have somebody to plow it, to sow it. And it's going to be yours. Well, King, eating at your table is good enough, but there are some blessings that we don't even know about yet. Some add-ons, some bonuses from the Father's house that the devil never lets you see. He's going to show you the bad side if he can. If he can get you on a bad side, if there is one, he's going to try to show it to you. If he can lie to you to make this look bad, if he can do all sorts of things to make this look bad to you, he's going to do it. But my friend, if I was you tonight, I'd take a look back toward the Father's house. The Father's standing with his arms outstretched. He's waiting on you to come home. He's been looking for you to come back to your rightful place. You're out of place in the far country. You don't belong there. You cannot survive there. You cannot live there. It's a place of dying. It's a place of death. Nobody can survive the far country. It's a long way from the Father's house, but you can come back home. You can get back to your rightful place. Son, we still got a place for you right here. Your room is still here. Your place is still here. Oh, your place is still here. He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. I really don't belong here, but on the other hand, I really belong here. Does that make sense? I mean, if you look at all the logistics and all these technicalities, by rights I don't belong here. But oh, I've been raised out of the dunghill, been raised out of the poor and the dirt and the dust. And he sent me among princes. I want to tell you, God wants to do that for you tonight. He wants to do that for you in this service. Get you out of the dunghill. Bring you back to the place. And make you a prince of God. Then there's another part of it. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth. For thirst, the young child asked bread, no man breaketh it unto him. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. That's Lodibar.
Yes,
I see a comparison there to Mephibosheth.
Yes,
a child that could have had scarlet, but wound up in a place of no pasture. I wish I could preach to us tonight. I sense that our minds are scattered, but I wish I could preach to you. Somebody right now is in Lodibar. Somebody right now is in the far country, and the far country is taking its toll on you. Brother Bill, how long can they survive there? I wonder, how long can they survive there? What is the life? How can they live there? Sin, it is the inspiration of all our foes, the virus of all our sufferings, the fountain of all our sorrows, the burden of all our oppressions. Do I need to read that again? It is the inspiration of all our foes, the virus of all our sufferings, the fountain of all our sorrows, the burden of all our oppressions, and you're trying to enjoy it. You're trying to take pleasure in it. You're trying to feast from it. All the while it adds sorrow to sorrow, grief to grief, trouble to trouble. Can you not turn now and behold the time and remember the day back at the Father's house and look to where the King is trying to get you to sit? Look around His table and see that there's a plenty. Look at His table and understand there are no kind of oppressions like this. The devil can't reach you there. The powers of sin cannot take you there. It's time to return back to the table of the Lord. You cannot feast on the table of God and the table of Satan. You cannot do it. And I'm going to give you a chance to pray. I went to a foreign country, and I was overwhelmed by the poverty there. I was overwhelmed by they're just trying to live. Just trying to live. And the pastor there said, look at this. The reason you see this, we dedicated our country to the devil some years ago. Look at this. Oh, America, America. America, what table are you feasting on? Child, tonight, what table are you feasting from? If you're not feasting from the Father's table, then more than likely, you've been feasting from the table of the devil. And there, wreck and ruin, poverty and famine will be your fate. I wish I could preach tonight. I wish I could reach you. I wish I could reach somebody tonight that's living, living out of place. If you could see the intent of the Father, and I know what the devil said, the Father won't have you back. He's against you. He's not for you. But I've come to preach to you tonight. The Father's still hands are outstretched. He said, all day long I will stretch forth my hands. I used to quote that as hand, but I read it closely one day. And I noticed it said hands. That means all my attention can be given to you. All that I have. My whole zeal toward you. I want to give to you tonight. I want to bless you with this. I want to help you in this. I want to heal your oppression. I want to heal your ungodliness. I want to heal the faith that it's brought to you and bring you again unto me as my son. Could we stand? Could we stand? Mephibosheth. How about it? How about it? The offer tonight is so powerful. The offer tonight, as humble as he felt and as unworthy as he felt, the offer was too good to pass up. King David, I'm lame in my feet. I'll never do your kingdom any good. I'll only be a burden to you. But that wasn't what King David was interested in. I want to show one the kindness of God. I want to show you the kindness of God. I want to show you the compassion. I want to reveal to you the compassion that I have toward you. It's not thy will that any should perish. It's not thy will that you perish. The Father said, I have gave my only Son because I loved you. I sent him to this world to die, to bleed from the hands of wicked men. There to suffer like no man has ever suffered. There he shed his life's blood. That's how much I love you. That's how much I love you. And from that sacrifice, the abundance of God flows toward us. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. But the Father has stretched forth his hand and commended his love toward me. Yet while I was a sinner, he commended his love. While I was in sin, he exhibited his love. While I was in sin, he revealed his love. Would you come tonight and experience that great love of the Father? He's longed for you to come back. He's waited for you to come back. He longed to embrace you, hold you, cleanse you, make you one of his own. Tonight, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come tonight? Sinner friend, would you come? How was your day at Lodibar? Did you have longings that were not filled? Did you have disappointments when you reached for those things that you thought would bring you joy? Did you get disappointed again? That thirst that you had in your being when you reached for the water that was set before you, it was only a mirage. It didn't exist. When you looked for bread, there was none. You would have fain filled your belly with the husk of things that was not worthy to be eaten. Oh, tonight would you come? Would you come? Look! Look at the Father tonight. He's reached out to you to help you. He's reached out to give you life, to give you hope. Oh, God. Let Him rid you of the burden that produces depression. Let Him rid you of the fountain of sorrows. Let Him rid you of the virus of all suffering. Let Him rid you of the inspiration of your foe. Come tonight. He wants to cleanse you, make you whole. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come tonight? Would you come? Would you come? I believe I'd go home tonight. I believe I'd get to the place He wants to help me. Oh, God. Would there be another tonight? Would there be another tonight? Come. Whosoever will, let him come. Come on tonight. I believe I'll make my way back to the Father's table. Friend, don't keep chasing that mirage. Don't keep seeking bread where there is none. Come tonight. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Would you come? As you had come back. As you had come. The Father's hand is outstretched. Woo! The Father's hand is outstretched tonight. Father's hand is outstretched. Tonight you can leave this building with Satan no longer having dominion over your soul. You can leave this building tonight with Satan no longer having to say so about you. Come to the Father. Let Him put His loving arms about you. Let Him reveal to you His compassion. Let Him reveal to you His salvation. Come tonight. Come tonight. Come, church. Come. Oh, Lord. Stay there. Stay there. Come. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight?
Oh, I can see my